Wake me up! Free me from this! So
wake
me up when
it's all over. That wake-up guy was trouble.
Yo, get out of bed! What are you doing? You're late! You're late! You're late!
I'm wide awake!
Come on, everybody! Wake up! Rise and shine!
Wake me up when
September ends. Come on, sleepyhead. It's time to wake up.
Wake up, will you, pal?
Wake up!
This is my wake-up show.
Now waking you up from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
I love being able to start the day with a happy story, and this is a very happy story. So,
good.
A 71-year-old man in Michigan stopped at a convenience store on his way home from work, and he bought 5 Lotto 47 tickets while he was there. And then he went home. You know, you put them in the console of your car or whatever, and you know, you're going to check them. You don't really expect anything to come of it. Well, the next day, his phone rings at his house, and it's the employee at the convenience store. So I guess this is one of those wonderful little Michigan towns where everybody knows everybody. Because The employee said, man, you need to check your lottery tickets because the store sold a jackpot, a 4.37 million jackpot ticket at roughly the same time you were in here yesterday.
Wow.
So the man checked his ticket, and sure enough, he was the big winner, $4.37 million. And he's chosen the cash payout, which is $3 million. And this man, what this man said next is like America right now. This 71-year-old man who just clocked $3 million said, oh, I'm saving this for retirement.
I'm proud of him. He's not blowing it with going to Vegas, using coke, and buying a brand new Cadillac. Yeah.
Is that I'm what you say at the beginning? But the reality of the situation is once you get the money, you're buying new cars.
Well, here's
he'll be broke
thing.
In 4 months. He'll be broke. He'll be broke in 4 months.
No, he won't.
Sir, you're 71, sir. Go ahead and retire today. Don't save it for retirement. Say, I'm retiring and getting a bass boat or whatever it is. Because with $3 million, the man can afford a dually, an Airstream, and a bass boat. And if that's what he's into, right? Come on.
Yeah, I hope he does that. So let me go around the horn here. How much do you give the clerk who called? Because you may not have looked at that ticket. So that would mean that you're out the $3 million. And by the way, is that after taxes or is it?
That's his lump sum.
That's the lump sum.
That's his lump sum. How much do you give that clerk who called? Let's start with Lamar. How much do you give him, if anything?
Nah, I gave him $100.
$100? Are you kidding me?
The lottery gives the store money too. Yeah,
the store, but the store is owned by somebody who is a gynecologist who has an investment. Two states over.
Lamar's poor from using their bathroom and buying that overpriced candy when he goes to the store. I'd say $5,000. I'd give him $5,000.
$5,000, Sherry.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Doc. You want to join these cheap F?
I was thinking more, at least $50K.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm doing $100K to that guy.
No, you're not. Oh, you're a filthy liar. Notice
he's getting $100K.
You're a filthy two-faced liar.
You know what? You're getting nothing. You're getting nothing.
I knew that. I've been knowing that based on the fact that you didn't kick this off with how much you were giving us. So I did know that. You have a weird tick for, well, how much are you giving so-and-so? Well, how much are you giving me? Well, how much? I mean, that is a weird tick that you have. That did not that it didn't occur to me to give the clerk something, but that wasn't my first thought about my man winning his $3 million here.
Oh, that was my very first thought. I'd have to say to myself, was I going to look at it and make sure that I was a loser or a winner? But in my head, if I was a little absent-minded, and y'all know me, and the guy was the one that triggered my winning, he's got to have some money.
Well, my thinking is that this gentleman who stopped on his way home and bought five very specific Michigan State lotto tickets. It wasn't like he said, oh, the Mega Millions is up, let me get one, or oh, the Powerball. Like, I get the feeling that he plays that particular scratchy game or that lotto game on the regular. And I think he would have checked his tickets. I mean, it was okay, the next day that he got the call.
That might change it. I might bring it down to
50K.
I'm kind of $100. Oh my God, Scrooge McDuck here.
$100.
I thought I knew you.
And a handshake. And a handshake. He's up in my business. He don't need to be calling me. I've got the lottery ticket. I'm going to check it. I don't need all that. But I think $100 is pretty nice.
It's not. Scrooge McDuck, it is not.
Okay, Lamar, $100 and a bag of those little spicy pickle chips. Can you go that far?
I can do that. It's not like I won't buy something come in his store. I'll buy something, for sure.
We got morons in the news coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
According to the people who study this type of thing, the average couple argue with each other a whopping 312 times a year. Mostly over cleanliness around the house, clutter around the house, taking too long to get ready to go out. Those are the regular triggers to get into an argument. Also, flicking through TV channels in bed and not landing on something to watch. And replacing an empty toilet roll, which in my house, I'm the only person who does that. I don't know what it is.
Same.
I don't know what it is with the women who have lived in this house with me. They will not do it. Don't you think 312 times a year sounds like an awful lot?
I was going to ask you about that. That sounds like it's almost every day.
I know.
So maybe, are we talking like, it's an argument or a little dust up? Because, I mean, if I'm having that many arguments, I got to go.
Like, you got to go. I think it's both. From what I'm reading with this, something could be like, Mary, can't you ever replace the toilet pit? All right, I'll do it. Or it could be, Bob, I have told you the name of the husband of my friend, my new friend. I've told you five times. His name is Earl. You have to remember these. We don't get in very many arguments. I have to say, I've been in that kind of a relationship. Where, there was always one not too far away. We're not raising children now. So, that's part of it because
that
children
is a huge
as
help.
Much as it's a huge help.
That's a huge help.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just with mixed, families with, previous children, but, your own biological children. They put a lot of pressure on as much as we love them. 312 times a year just seems like, I just don't know that I could bear it.
Let me tell you another reason why you don't have that much conflict in your marriage, because you put a lot of work in. You do. You put a lot of effort into being thoughtful and proactive and pulling your weight. You do. And you need to get some credit.
I do.
Enjoy getting credit for things. So take some credit for this, because a lot of people do not put the effort in that you put in.
One of the most wonderful things I ever heard a woman say about me was said by Mary, and she was talking to one of her friends. And this was, I guess we'd been married 4 or 5 years, something like that. We've been married 14 years now. She's talking to one of her friends, and they brought up the fact that she married me. And she said, best thing I ever did in my life. And I thought, wow, I have...
Finally.
there's no other way to
put it.
Finally.
Finally.
That made me, to this day, that makes me feel good.
And that is okay. Like, it's, why would you not celebrate that, right? Finally.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do put a lot of effort in, and that's why you're not having, like, you don't leave your stuff everywhere, and you're not thoughtless and inconsiderate. Yeah. And, you know, you, you're trying to find little things to do to make her happy. And that is something that you've learned from experience that like, this is part of what goes into it.
I revisited that, after we'd been married about 12 years. And I said, am I still the best thing you ever did in your life? And she said, yeah, not so much really. When I look back after all these, no, I'm only kidding. She is. Never
you're not the worst though. You're not the worst thing.
I think I still am up. I'm still up there, and it goes from me too.
I mean, if you were having 300, how many arguments again? Tell me
312,
how many.
312.
312. Yeah. So that
let's
means
say disagreements. Let's say disagreements.
You've only got 53 days out of the whole year that you're not in some sort of squabble. Lamar, does that max? Coming. Does that sound? Yeah, does that sound right to you?
No, Sherry, that's zero. Zero sounds right to me. Zero.
Well, unfortunately, sometimes I'm guilty of starting a stupid argument. I don't know. 15 years of marriage, I don't know that Carla's ever been wrong or done anything.
I don't picture you doing that. I do not picture you starting an argument. Do you, Sherry?
No, not intentionally. Lamar would not start an argument intentionally.
No, I would not. No.
But he might say something, not realizing, oh, no, those are some words I should have kept inside my mouth. I could see him getting into trouble
She says the word snippy and a dig. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's a dig. That's what that is. You're being snippy and that's a dig. I don't mean to, but snippy. Sometimes I probably do. I'm snippy.
He's snipping and digging. We got more odds in the news.
Let's call
next.
Him Snippy.
It's Bob and Sherry. Morons, and the news is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's go!
Harvesting idiots from around the globe.
You stupid moron.
It's Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
Okay, this is a different type of Morons in the News story. This is, in my opinion, as a flinty New Englander, not a complete waste of money, but a ridiculous amount of money for 3 days. The Masters Golf Tournament is coming up. It's one of the most exclusive golf tournaments in the entire world. To get one of their badges, there are only so many. It is very, very difficult. You really have to have a relative that has one or somebody you know that has one to be able to walk on those grounds. And it's just, it's an honor to go there if you're a golf lover. But nonetheless, local people in the Augusta, Georgia area live near the Masters course will rent out their houses. So I'm going to give you an idea of what it costs and what they want. This person who's renting out their house, it's three nights in a private executive home. Home is fully stocked with food and drink upon arrival. Invoice separately, by the way. You're going to pay extra for that. It includes daily maid service. You get four Masters course badges for Saturday, April 13th. Four for Sunday, the Green Jacket Day, when the tournament ends. Four VIP hospitality passes. You get to go to the Hospitality Club Gallery, whatever that is, and you get the Masters Experience video. You get a video of the place. Also, dedicated support for planning and dedicated ground transportation from the airport to the golf course. $60,000 for 3 days.
Per person?
The whole thing, no. You get the house for $60,000. I think they will,
They'll get that.
I could not write that. Now, if it's a business, you know, and you're taking a client that's a big deal client who loves golf, I could see it. But, you know, just to go there with a couple of buddies and drop $60,000, boy, babe.
I can't imagine it, but then again, I just can't imagine it, right? I don't like golf that much, and $60,000 is so much money, and I just can't imagine it.
I think Tony would pick it up for us, don't you? I mean, you know, we've had a pretty good year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, you betcha. Lamar?
A South Carolina woman desecrated numerous graves on her way to meet someone. The unnamed driver decided her time was more important than that of the deceased. Police in Livonia, Georgia says she was late for an appointment when she chose to mow down multiple tombstones at the Livonia Cemetery in Livonia while making a shortcut. Photos from the scene show her black SUV crash landed on a brick structure that appears to be a gravesite. County deputies showed up moments later. In case you saw or heard the law enforcement commotion, well, it wasn't us, the Livonia police said on Facebook. She was driving down I-85 through Livonia and into Livonia Cemetery. Once she damaged several graves, she jumped out and ran on foot, but was quickly captured. Livonia is a small city, northern Georgia, with a population of 2,000. It's about 94 miles northeast of Atlanta. I've ate at that Waffle House many, many, many times. One Facebook commenter appeared to witness the incident. What appeared to be a black Kia Soul flew over the railroad tracks with law enforcement in hot pursuit. I noticed they read Oconee County on the side. When she passed the fountain, we froze. Good thing, because she never let off the gas. She said, I told my husband, well, if that driver doesn't survive their pitiful choice, at least it's a short trip to the cemetery.
What? What? And finally, so the city of Arlington, Texas, they had a good idea. They got 200 goats. And they hired them to clear like poison ivy and poison oak from the Crystal Canyon natural area. So they put the goats in the natural area because goats will eat anything and they can eat poison ivy and not get sick, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The goats ate their way through all the weeds. And then I guess they didn't think that they would need to have fences or good fences or close the gates or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because all 200 of the goats escaped the Crystal Canyon natural area, and a herd of 200 goats headed into town and started going buck wild off people's gardens and their
I would love to see it. I hate for their gardens. Oh my goodness.
It's too hot. They're like not hooligans, they're hula goats. Yeah. 200 right. of them. So the Arlington police had to fan out to herd them together. And we've got the body camera footage of the officers wrangling the goats. They said, we can't promise plants were eaten that weren't supposed to be eaten, but we can promise that no goats were injured in this crime spree. That is morons in the news. Coming up, things Bob didn't know. Comedian Jordan Fisher and why we just want to cuddle things that are cute. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Steve Whitehouse, 49, passing a house, saw flames and smoke coming out and decided somebody had to do something. And the fire raged so fiercely that the entire flat was just completely engulfed. And all the contents were destroyed. There was nothing left when the fire was over. He climbed up the first floor, made sure that he heard the woman screaming. He went in. He got her out. Then he went back the second time, and the man was in there screaming that his dog was in there. So he talked the man into wrapping the dog up, throwing the dog out. He caught the dog. Secured the dog, and then climbed back up and got the man out. He got everybody out of the fire. He saved them all. Then he got back into his trash truck and started back on his route. He finished his route so that nobody did not get their trash picked up.
Oh, that guy's all man. Yeah. That guy is all man. That. You know what? One of the most impressive, first of all, everything he did was impressive. But the idea that he said, my work is done here now. And he gets back in the truck and go collects trash. Are you kidding me? What a guy.
The fireman, when interviewed, the fire chief said, he did allow me to give him a cup of coffee. And he drank that cup of coffee. And I turned around and he was driving off to the next house to get the trash. Now, if that's not employee of the year, I don't know who is. I mean,
No drama.
Listen, I would have took the rest of the day off. I'm sorry. I've just saved two people and a dog from a fire. I'm taking the afternoon. I'm not taking it off.
I'm driving that truck right to the t-shirt shop and say, make me a custom t-shirt that says, ask me why I'm a hero. That's what I'm doing.
I believe
Absolutely.
I believe every word of that.
Yeah. That's true, Bob. Nobody's down.
Right, that's
you,
enough.
Nobody's
that's
down.
Enough. It was supposed to be funny, okay?
This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
And now on the Bob and Sherry Show, another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know.
Thank you. Yes. So many to choose from. Let's start here. There was a Persian king named Xerxes, and he was a ruler, I don't know, 300 or 400 years ago. And he punished the sea for ruining his bridge. He tried to build a bridge across the Dardanelles to get to Greece faster to attack them, but a storm destroyed the bridge. That infuriated him. He was infuriated with the sea, so Xerxes ordered his soldiers to punish the sea by whipping the sea with chains 300 times and poking it with red-hot irons. Handcuffs were also tossed into the water to symbolize the sea's submission to Xerxes. I swear to God, one of his relatives was a manager at the old station, don't you think? I mean, that's right. During the Napoleonic Wars, I didn't know this, a French ship sank off the coast of Hartlepool, England. The only survivor was the French captain's pet monkey, which he always dressed in a French military uniform. The local English people freaked out because the English law says that any French military found in uniform on British soil must be executed as a spy. And so they ordered the standard punishment for spies, death by hanging. So they brought out the rope, and the French military monkey saw the rope and got on it, and instead of dying, just kept climbing up the rope, went over a wall, and escaped.
This is one of the craziest things I've heard in a while. And that's
he's a monkey.
Something.
That's what they do. They climb ropes.
The part of this that shocks me is not the monkey climbing the rope. It's the people going, it's a monkey in a costume, but well, the law is the law. People interpret the law. You did not need to have an execution for a monkey in a costume. I'm glad the monkey escaped, Bob Lacey. I'm delighted.
I am too. But what's jumping out at me here, Sherry, is that you're saying to yourself, those people are just crazy, but you kind of rolled with Xerxes whipping the ocean with change?
The ocean can be sassy, okay? And it needs to learn its place.
All right. In 1945, the Americans were pushing through Germany. Commander General Eisenhower sent General Patton a message instructing him not to take the city of Trier because it would require 4 divisions to seize the city. Patton sent a message back saying, I've already taken Trier with 2 divisions. What do you want me to do? Give it back? Those were his exact words to Eisenhower. I'll tell you what, Patton, you got to give Patton one thing. He may not have been a great guy to hang out with if you're, you know, one of the underlings, but he got the job done when he had to
salty,
get the job done.
Salty, but that was the right response, right?
Yeah, that's right. This is sort of interesting. Tell me if you, I didn't know this. Tell me if you think this is true. Studies have told us that movies and books are better when you experience them the second time. Do you think that's true?
It's true
think
for
about,
me
no.
very often
Not for me.
Because
Not
the me. First time I experience a book or a movie, I'm gobbling it up whole and just like letting it overwhelm me. And then you go back and you find all the cool little details and little subtle things that you missed. Yeah, but not for you, Lamar?
No, because I like getting surprised. I like to not know what's going on and seeing it for the first time.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying, but for me, I like that first time.
I mean, I've seen The Godfather 87 times, And I swear I see something new every time. So I'm kind of on Sherry's side with that. Here's something
that
I have
to say, Lamar, I have to say, your passion for being in an environment where you don't know what's coming next or what's going on is why you're thriving here in your new career.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a skill you got to have here. True. Hey, listen to this. Speaking of the Germans, right now, the Germans are selling cow manure in a can. So basically, you can get the smell of the country if you live in a city. And people are actually buying this, opening up the cans of cow manure to get the smell of the country. Could they not put in flowers or hay or, I don't know, grass?
Yeah. I mean, if you've lived in the country or driven through, you know that smell. I can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could be nostalgic for that. It's hard to imagine.
You know, some people might. Like, some people hate the smell of low tide, you know, when the tide goes out and there's just mud and there's a certain smell to it. And Mary, when she smells it, she just goes, oh, that's awful. It's almost like eggs, but I kind of like it. And I think it's because I was brought up, you know, on the coast.
Near it, yeah.
So, yeah, near it. And you get kind of used. Max will relate to this one. Meditation is such a powerful technique that after only 8 weeks, the brain structure changes. And I bring it to Max because I was mentioning once years ago that I would like to learn meditation. And he was very thoughtful, sent me a book about meditation. I think that was about 15 years ago. I'm about halfway through, Max, so I still have it.
You know,
I'm
still. You know what? You want to savor every page.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's exactly right. There it is. Things Bob didn't know. Crack open that can if you're a city dweller. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website. The Oddcast. Contest info. BobandSherry.com.
Every month, we're picking a teacher to send on vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. Nominate a teacher to win a trip for two from Visit Florida at BobandSherry.com. So I'm reading this article about certain things that millennials just will not do. And so it's causing a massive shift in business and culture because the millennials won't do it. And therefore, these businesses are finding themselves under threat. Chain restaurants. Millennials do not want to eat at chain restaurants. That means Applebee's and Chili's and Buffalo Wild Wings. Millennials do not want to eat at a chain. They want to eat somewhere local. Doc, do you agree with that? Are you a guy that does not want to eat at a chain restaurant?
That doesn't really apply to me. Like, I'm not going in to sit down, but I will do the online ordering.
Oh, so you don't
go into restaurants
you'll go get
at
the
all?
Food.
No, I don't go into restaurants
at all. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm interested in people. I have a friend, a couple right down the street from me, and they never go into a restaurant. They only do pickup. So that's you, huh?
Yeah. If I were with a group, yeah, sure. But by myself, no. I'm not just going in there to eat by myself.
Is that because you're by yourself, or because given the choice, you just as soon just be left the heck alone in your own home?
Yeah,
there are no wrong answers.
I would just rather enjoy the peace and quiet of home.
You don't want to be hit on, right? I mean, that's the thing. There you are. You're eating alone at the bar. You don't want to be hit on.
It's so stressful being the star producer of Bob and Sherry. It's just such a burden.
Exhausting, yeah. And for every invitation he accepts, look how many hearts he breaks. It's a lot. Oh, yeah. It's a burden, Bob. Don't ask him to carry it. Here's another
thing. I love to eat by myself.
I do, too. Yeah, I do too. You know, this thing with the millennials, I think it depends on where the millennials are financially, because, you know, when I went to visit Landon and Ramsey when they were living in Chicago, Landon's a real millennial. She said, oh, this great place, it's called French's. And oh my God, the avocado toast is unbelievable. They just have old timey sandwiches. And it was a great place. But it was a little pricey, to be honest with you. So, I mean, if you're struggling and you're a millennial, you know, an Applebee's special might be more appealing.
Except the problem is the millennials do not agree with you. And they're like, yeah, we're struggling. We're going to go get a taco from that food truck. They're not they're not dodging Applebee's for price reasons. They don't want to eat at chain restaurants. They don't want to buy diamonds. Millennials are turning to non-traditional engagement rings and lab-grown diamonds because they don't want to spend the money on a conflict stone, and they think it's ridiculous and overpriced. Here's another thing. Millennials don't want cable TV, although with the way the streaming packages are adding up, it's actually like becoming more expensive to not have
cable TV. It's true.
You can't beat them. You can't beat them. You cannot beat them. No, that's not going to happen. Right. You see where Outback's closing a bunch of restaurants? Outback is closing like 40-something restaurants across the country. So is what you're right? saying.
Say it with me. It's because the millennials don't want to go get a Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, that's right.
Our customers are dying from the Bloomin' Onion.
wasn't the Bloomin' Onion the
With
least
smile on our
healthy?
Face.
Yeah, I know.
It is.
The least healthy thing you could order on an American restaurants that are chains.
No.
I think it was.
No.
The Bloomin' Onion has what? 1,200 calories or something like that per serving?
Per bite. No, not per serving. Yeah. Per bite.
Is it those buzzkills that the public interest science, whatever they are, they were the ones said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's another thing. Millennials are killing department stores. And Macy's just announced they're closing. How many was it? 400 more stores? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of online shopping. Millennials are killing cruises. Millennials do not want to go on cruises.
They don't?
They cruises do not want to go on cruises. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Nope. Millennials are killing business suits.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think that it was more than millennials, though. Once that Lamar was mentioning that, once Casual Friday started, I can tell you right now, Brooks Brothers was on the way down. Because the last time I was in a Brooks Brothers was like before the pandemic. COVID? I needed a tie to go to a wedding or something, and I just didn't have one that matched. And I went into Brooks Brothers, and I said, I'm going to go look at your ties. And they said, enjoy it. We're never going to order any more. Brooks Brothers was not ordering ties. It's just totally changed.
The sale of high heels, stilettos, is dramatically dropping because millennials are like,
kidding.
But not just millennials, all of us in the pandemic were like, I don't need those. I'm not spending that money and they're miserable and I don't remember how to walk in them and I hate them.
You're just making me sad, Sherry. You're making me sad. I'm hating everything you're saying.
Lamar loves a lady in high heels at the Applebee's. He just does.
Yeah.
Straight ahead.
Especially
comedian.
If she's eating a Bloomin' Onion.
Jordan Fisher. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Jordan Fisher.
Did that. Something happened in my life recently. My grandma got scammed this week. Yeah, somebody called my grandma and told her that I was in jail and that she needed to pay $1,000 to get me out of there, and then she paid it. Yeah, so I'm up $1,000. It's so easy to scam old people, dude. They fall for anything. Old people are so easy. I'm going to call the White House next. I'm going to take care of those student loans for us. I got this. Yeah. I'm going to be like, wake up, Joe. Your car's extended warranty is out. We need $10 million in the bank account by Wednesday, dog. I got a lot of problems in my life right now. I think the biggest problem I have currently is the fact that I'm a millennial. We got any millennials in here? Yeah, there we are. We're sad. It's not going well for millennials, man. Nobody should be waking up and journaling this much. Every millennial just starts off their day spilling their thoughts in a goofy little notebook. Just, I am kind, I am strong, I am worthy of my dreams. Nobody in the 50s and 60s did that. They just woke up, rolled out of bed, looked into the mirror and said, you're a bum, now buy a house. And they did. They ordered a house from a Sears catalog for $35 and lived in it for decades. I've given up on that dream. I wanted to be a homeowner so bad growing up. I don't even see kids playing house anymore. I saw 6 kids in the park today playing apartment. It was sad. They were... They were just huddled around a trash can like, you guys want to split a Netflix password? I don't know how we're going to make the rent. I was like, call your grandma. Tell her you're in jail. She'll help you. Millennials have a lot of problems, dude, and we don't fix any of our problems either. We think we're fixing them because we're loud. We just yell at everybody online. We're always like, you got to boycott these companies, okay? Don't buy anything from these companies. Don't buy anything from Amazon unless you really need it. Sometimes you got to treat yourself. But it's hard not to shop online because we do everything online. We shop online, we date online, and they're kind of the same experience, right? Because you look at the pictures, and then you order it, and then it comes, and you'd be like, ooh. I think I got the wrong size. I had something like that happen to me recently. I matched with this girl online. She was beautiful, beautiful. But then we met up in real life. She turned out to be a 6'3 Russian. Yeah, now that would be cool if I had like a fur coat and neck tattoos. She would look like my dope bodyguard, but you know. I'm 5'9", and I shop at thrift stores, so we just look like a greyhound and a wiener dog together. Just tall, beautiful, elegance, and just a brother that's happy to be there. Yeah, man. 6'3", man. 6'3". And she had alpha energy, too. I could tell, because she ordered for us. Yeah. We were sitting at the bar, and the waiter was like, what will you have? She went, I will have a vodka. The boy will have a milk. I was like... Excuse me, the boy. We'll have a Diet Coke, please. Thank you. I feel like I'm in a sweet spot with dating, honestly, because I'm in my 30s, so I can date a little younger and I can go a little older, but I think I'm done dating younger, like especially women under 25. Like, I don't feel like there's anything I can talk to a 22-year-old about at this point in my life. Because if we're on a date, she's going to be sitting there talking about Travis and Taylor, and I got to sit there and be like, you know, I started taking fish oil for my knees. You know, just like, look at that. I don't grunt when I get up no more. And once you hit 30, people are very adamant about you starting a family, too. And I'm very hesitant to have kids because I'm one of two children. And when you're one of two, there's always one kid that's dealing with irreparable trauma for the rest of their lives. And then there's the youngest. I'm the firstborn. It sucks being the firstborn. Being the firstborn sucks because you're raised by people that don't have kids. Ever think about that? Nobody wants to go on a pilot's first flight. I'll start a family once I figure out women. I thought I had women figured out, but women update. You got to stay on top of them, fellas. Yeah, I thought I had women figured out because I grew up in the 90s, and everything they showed us about women back then was through the frame of rom-coms, chick flicks. And I was like, okay, I can be one of those nice, romantic, funny guys. But then somewhere along the way, women stopped watching romantic comedies, and now y'all won't stop listening to murder podcasts. Nobody saw that switch up coming. Well played, ladies. I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the way, how to lose a guy in 10 days turned into how to find a body in 48 hours. And the weirdest part is some of y'all will fall asleep to murder podcasts. That's so weird. It's so creepy. You fall asleep to your worst fear. That'd be like me falling asleep to police body cam footage. It's like, we've got a black male in custody. I'm like, ah, oh, white noise. My name's Jordan Fisher. Thank you so much.
He's terrific.
We'll post Jordan on up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab. Look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to BobandSherry.com.
Can we please stop producing and showing car commercials on TV where the car backs up to the edge of a cliff inches before it goes over the side of a cliff, or bringing the car up to the edge of the cliff and then the car just barely stops at the edge of the cliff? It's one after another, and it makes me very, very nervous. I do not like watching these things because I put myself in the place of the guy who gets the gig, and they say, all right, Bob, back it up, but don't go over the side of the cliff. Stop doing that. I mean, what is next? You got a spot where there's a mom and a kid, and the door blows off a plane, and then the mom says to the kid, can you go up and get mommy a drink? Ask the flight attendant, just go down the aisle and get mom. What are we trying to do? Why do we want to bring more stress into people's lives with these commercials. Am I the only one that's a little uncomfortable? It's always SUVs, by the way. It's always SUVs.
Well, until one of them goes over, I'm all right. I just don't want them to go over.
I swear, it's coming. There'll be somebody who's in charge of making sure that the thing stops, and they hired the wrong person, right? And the wrong person, I don't know, has bad eyesight or bad judgment, and over it goes, and now everybody's suing everybody else. I cannot be the only person that's uncomfortable watching those commercials. And it's not just the one. I thought it was just the one. It's one after another. So there has to be a reason that they're doing it. And the reason has to be the people are fascinated, even though they've seen the commercial like 20 times. I wonder if it'll go over this time. Oh, I think it's getting even closer this time. Please.
I'm not worried about it going over in the commercial. I'm worried about the copycat having a wild Saturday who thinks they can drive like that. Yeah.
Yeah. How far can you get? About. Yeah. How close can you get to the end? You're right. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
It is talk back time, and you can call the show right now at 844-52-SHERRY. That's 844-52-SHERI. Or if you have our app, which is cool because you can listen to the show and all the podcasts and text the studio and all kinds of cool things. There's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. If you tap it and talk, the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, Max, Doc, and Lamar. It's Annie from Forsyth, Georgia. Again, I had a quick story I wanted to share with you. I was listening to your podcast from the other day about Honey Boo Boo and her family. And, of course, I live in Central Georgia, so they live near where we live, but not in the same town. Anyway, this was a story about when I worked as a teacher in the evening at a local technical college. And one evening I was teaching and my phone just kept on ringing. Like my husband was blowing my phone up and I thought there was an emergency for real. And so I had to interrupt my class and say, I'm so sorry, y'all. I have to go out in the hall and call my husband back. He keeps calling me. So I thought it was a true emergency. Well, when I called him back, he was like, oh my gosh, let me tell you, I went to the local gas station down the road, the BP, and guess who I saw? And he was like, who? And he was like, Honey Boo Boo and Sugar Bear and Mama June, all of them came in and they were getting big gulps and all this. And they were right there in front of me in line. I said, are you seriously calling me and interrupting my class to tell me you saw Honey Boo Boo? And he was like, oh, well, yeah, I just thought it was really, interesting. And I was like, get off my phone. Anyway, I just thought it was funny and I thought I'd share, but we've had other sightings around this area of that family. So I just thought it was funny that y'all brought it up. Talk to y'all soon. Thanks. Have a great day.
Who among us would not have been just as excited by that?
Oh, Mary would have called me right away. Mary would have been on the phone right away.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you, like, you wouldn't be tripped out to see Mama June, Sugar Bear, and Honey Boo Boo get big gulps? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that part of the world, you know, I mean, it's a wonderful place to live, but there are not a lot of celebrities. So that's big time. Honey Boo Boo's big time there.
Yeah.
It must be, you know, I never really gave it much thought until just now, but it must be very strange to live in the same town with one of these big reality show families, whether it's the Honey Boo Boo people or the Cody, what's his head? Cody Brown, Sister
and
Wives.
See them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it must be very, the Plathville people, it must be very surreal. Because a lot of the other reality shows, like you're not going to, if you live in LA, you might spot a Kardashian every now and again. If you live in Atlanta, you'll spot one of the Real Housewives every now and again. But I think these reality show families are a different animal for some reason. What do you think?
Well, obviously they would seem more approachable than, you know, walking down the street and seeing, I don't know, Michael Douglas or somebody like that. You might be a little intimidated. But if there's, you know, Sugar Bear is right there. Are you telling me that Lamar would not go up to Sugar Bear? And
Yeah,
right.
But you know what would be terrible? Probably. So Lamar pulls.
Wait, Bob. Are you assuming that Sugar Bear is not coming up to me? Okay, never mind.
So, ahead, as you know,
not the most aware man I've ever known of, so maybe not.
When Lamar gets gas, he goes in and uses the convenience store bathroom, and he always buys something as a show of appreciation for using their bathroom. So the chances of Lamar running into Sugar Bear are higher than you might think. But what worries me. Here's what scares me. Lamar goes up to Sugar Bear. Man, you Sugar Bear. I'm Lamar, blah, blah, blah. And then Lamar goes, hey, buddy, how about we take a picture? And Sugar Bear blows Lamar off. Would there be any coming back from that?
There's not. How low have you sunk as a man?
You're depressing the crap out of me. This is a terrible situation. You are depressing me. First of all, you're acting like Sugar Bear don't know who the heck I am when I walk up to the big gulp thing. Right. I mean, and now he's blowing me off because he don't want, you know, oh my God.
Yeah. Hey, man.
You're
a
heartless woman, Sherry Lynch. You really are.
You are.
Now, what'd you say your name was, Larry? No pictures, Larry. I'm Sugar Bear doesn't do pictures.
Listen, I have my picture taken with a reality star, Chum Lee from Pawn Stars.
Oh, yeah.
You did?
So when my parents lived out in Nevada, I went, I think I'm going to go by the Pawn Stars pawn shop. And there he was. He had sunglasses on. I stood next to him and I got a contact buzz. There was so much residue in his clothes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
He's cleaned up his act since.
He has.
Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, go.
Okay, so her name is Patsy Walker and she's the ukulele grandma and she plays, I mean, like the most random songs like House of the Rising Sun. She does a ukulele cover and Sunshine on My Shoulders and All by Myself, like the most random songs. And Patsy, the OG grandma ukulele player, took off Coolio's Gangsta Paradise. Whatever else YouTube has become, YouTube was invented for people like this. Little Patsy Walker with her ukulele. She turns the video on and she just sits there and performs like deadly serious, completely sincere. And she has thousands and thousands of views and all sorts of fans.
Everybody wants to be in show business. And sooner or later, everybody is going to be in show business. And she is the perfect example. And by the way, don't you think no matter what the song is, I mean, it could be as big of a downer as Richard Marks' Hazard. If it's done with a ukulele, somehow it just seems more upbeat and fun. There's something about the sound of a ukulele.
It's whimsical and cheerful. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always cheerful. Yeah. So we'll post. There's something strangely hypnotic about watching Pat. Max has watched the video, so he knows. There's something strangely hypnotic.
It is. You cannot look about, away.
About watching Pat's strummer ukulele. And wait, can you see some of the other things that she's covered? It's so random. You have moments every now and again where you're reminded, oh yeah, this is what the internet was supposed to be, or
right.
This is what YouTube was supposed to do.
That's
oh
right.
Yeah, I remember. This is why they invented Facebook. It wasn't always to be this engine of advertising and misery, right? It was supposed to give ladies like Patsy an audience.
A shot.
For her fun Coolio ukulele cover. All right, don't go anywhere. You know that impulse you have when you see like a puppy and you're just like, oh, I just want to squeeze that puppy and bite it. That's like a real human thing, but humans aren't the only ones that have it. Next, it's Bob and Sherry.
Can You Believe This is sponsored by Avatar, The Last Airbender, now streaming on Netflix.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
You know how when you see like a puppy or a kitten or a baby, you just have this impulse to grab it and cuddle it and give it a squeeze and maybe nibble on it a little bit. You know that feeling? Do you have that feeling? Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a name for that. And the name for that is cute aggression. And for a long time, we thought only human beings had that. But then remember Coco the gorilla?
Yes.
So Coco was a Western lowland gorilla, and she was the very first gorilla to be able to communicate with people via sign language. It was just the most extraordinary thing, cross-species communication. And one of the things that Coco told her, I guess handlers is the word, her caregivers, Coco told them that she wanted to have a kitten. And at first they didn't understand, and eventually she made herself clear, I want a kitten. So they gave Coco the gorilla a kitten, and Coco gave the kitten a name and signed back to the people what the kitten's name was. The kitten was named All Ball, and Coco could not stop snuggling and squeezing and loving on that kitten.
Oh, that's so sweet.
The pictures and the videos went around the world. In the photos, you can Coco is hugging the kitten so close you can barely see the kitten's little head. And that's when we
so
knew
sweet.
That it wasn't just human beings that have cute aggression, right? That other animals like cannot get enough of a puppy or a dog or a cat. So they decided to take a look at like, why do we do that? Like, why do we pretend to gobble up like a little baby's little, give me their little baby feet? We're like, argh. Or why do we take a puppy's fluffy ears and pretend to gnaw on them, right? Why do we do that if we love something and we think it's adorable? Why do we act like we're trying to hurt it? And here's the reason. Cute aggression is an emotional response that happens when you're experiencing so many emotions all at once. So you see your dog and there's like Finn or Darby, and they're sitting there looking at you and they have their paws crisscrossed over another, right? And you say, look at your paws. And your dog cocks his or her head and kind of gives you a dog smile. You are experiencing delight in how cute the dog is and this rush of love for the dog and disbelief that the dog is doing something that's so human and the dog is responding to you. And you're so overwhelmed by all of those feelings that all you can think is, I just want to eat you up.
I wonder if dogs experience that too. Like we have a neighbor who has a little, I think it's a Bichon, little teeny weeny thing. And the dog's name is Teddy. And Teddy is crazy. Teddy comes into the house and immediately starts to look and find wherever Finn's food is.
That's the first thing Teddy wants. And then Teddy finds Finn and wants to bite Finn on the ear and then jump up on the couch to see what Finn will do about it. I mean, Teddy literally is out of his mind and bites Finn on the paw, bites Finn on the ear to irritate him, and then jumps up somewhere high where Finn can't get him and looks, and then attacks again. Maybe. I wonder if that's a dog version of that.
Maybe. It's interesting because not everyone has this impulse. Lots of people see a cute puppy or baby or kitten or capybara or whatever, and they go, mm-hmm. Oh, that's cute. And that's it just ends there. Like, that's cute.
Well, they're psychopaths.
There are people, I think so. But then there are people that see that cute critter or that cute little toddler, and they are flooded with so many feelings that right. they become overwhelmed. And that feeling of, I just want to eat you up, and instead you like, nom, 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 and you pretend to, that is the trigger, the brakes that stops you from actually eating the puppy or taking a true bite out of the baby.
I don't know about this. I love my grandchildren, but I was never going to eat their feet.
No, but you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, like there are people that don't have the brakes, right? They're like, this is so cute. I just want to eat it up. I just want to possess it. And then they actually try to. Yeah. Then they actually try to. Cute aggression is not something that you're born with. Cute aggression is the response to all of the feelings that you have. Because look at that puppy's big feet.
I must say that Jeffrey Dahmer did not have a problem with enjoying cuteness too much.
I mean, who knows, though, right? Like, who knows? Maybe when he was younger, he was like, that raccoon is so cute. I just want to eat it up. And then eventually he did, and that's where he took the turn. I think we'll never know. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
All of us do the same thing when we get on an airplane. When they get ready to take off, we put it in airplane mode. That's what everybody does. But you're not crazy if you think your phone signal might not interfere with an airplane's navigation system and causing it to crash, because it's really a myth. There's just no reason that they ask you to do that. In Europe, they've started to allow phone calls on their flights since 2022. They require all the planes to install picocells, which essentially is like a traffic controller that makes phone signals not crisscross with the plane's communication. And pretty much those picocells are in all airplanes. So, and even without a picocell, there's limited evidence that a phone has ever interfered with a plane's electrical system. The real reason is airplanes think people won't stop yapping on their cell phones during flights, and that leads to more instances of air raids. And that's why regulators in this country continue to ban phone calls and data usage on planes. And I'm glad. I'm glad that they do. Does anybody here want to have people beside you on a plane talking and talking
talking? You're right. You're right.
That's such a good point.
That is a great point. How many times have you been in a restaurant and a guy's going, we're going to meet them at 7 o'clock. We're going to really get this deal. Oh, God. Next to even you would be awful.
Even when you're sitting out there in the waiting to board the plane, there's always that guy that's got the thing dangling out of his ear, and he's screaming about this deal, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to. I don't care. I don't care about your deal. Well, one of the quotes here says, allowing cell phones on planes sounds like the premise for a new reality show. Cage fighting at 30,000 feet. Oh, I mean,
A long flight is the only break I get. That is the only break I get from being tugged on constantly. Do not change this rule, please.
I agree 100%. Let's keep the cell phones off. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Well, this is really impressive. A Georgia woman who has worked at the same restaurant for over 20 years was honored by the company after grilling her 1 millionth steak.
Wow.
Gail Dudley. Yes, a round of applause for Gail Dudley, who has worked at the Longhorn Steakhouse on Macon Road in Columbus, Georgia, for more than two decades, was surprised at work by executives from the nationwide chain after she grilled the 1 millionth steak during her tenure there. So, boy, that's how do they keep track of how many steaks she's grilled?
I think they estimated and just.
You think so? No, yeah, no, they can't estimate.
I don't think
estimate.
They actually.
You know, you could actually, everything's computerized now. You could actually compare the number of steaks sold with the time she was on shift and probably get really close to an exact number.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. That's probably true. 1 million steaks. What do you think they gave her? What did Longhorn give her for doing that? 1 millionth steak.
An engraved spatula. And nothing more. How about you?
That is what I expected. What do you think, Max? What do you think?
They had to have given her like a vacation or something somewhere, right?
Well, they
I sure as heck hope they didn't give her a steak, because that lady's got to be sick of looking at.
They gave her a gold chef coat and the title Grill Master Legend and $5,000.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
$5,000. I think that's pretty good. What do you think, Sherry?
It's way better than the engraved spatula I was afraid they gave her. So yeah. Yay! After you've grilled a million steaks, do you think you would ever want to eat another steak as long as you lived?
My father was what they used to call a soda jerk, working in a drugstore, making ice cream cones and ice cream sundaes when he was a teenager. He said he could never look at ice cream after that. So that's a possibility, I suppose.
I worked at a pizza restaurant, and I could still eat pizza five nights a week. Yeah, so it doesn't always stick.
I worked at an Irish Jewish restaurant called O'Brien Stein's, and I've never had a stuffed potato since. So we did a lot of stuffed potatoes, and then the Stein part of it were like deli sandwiches and that sort of thing, corned beef and
a million
cabbage.
Steaks though. Boy, I'd like to get a $5,000 check. What have I done a million times? Probably nothing. What have I done a million times?
I could think of things, but you wouldn't love them. So we can't give you. You're already being inducted into the Bob and Sherry Hall of Fame. How many more prizes do we have to come up with?
Here's something.
Now you want a $5,000 check for 1 million irate complaints. 1 million. 1 million. Tony, you need to fix this. which one do you want me to pick?
I'm sorry I asked the question, to be honest with you at this point. I am going to be inducted into the Bob and Sherry Hall of Fame, though.
You are. You're going to be inducted. We're working. We want the ceremony to be magical. So, you know, it takes some planning. It takes some planning to induct you into the Bob and Sherry Hall of Fame. And while we're doing that, perhaps you will receive a prize for having said, my mouth is watering just thinking about it 1 million times. Max or Doc, you got anything? The state of Maine is making you its honorary governor for explaining what the state of Maine is 1 million times.
That's fine.
Your beautiful wife, Mary, is giving you a bronze of her face for describing her as my beautiful wife, Mary, who is nice to me.
I don't think our neighbor, Mr. Lane, would have done that.
1 million times.
Go ahead.
You'll also be receiving a leather embossed notebook for telling me that's it. You won't have me to kick around anymore 1 million times.
Hey, Sherry, how about this one? I'm not sweating the little things anymore.
All right, that's enough. This is getting into the book of Bob.
Oh, wait. Here we go. The SPCA is awarding you with a scarf for having announced 1 million times that is not your cat, that is your wife's cat.
All right. Well, it turns looks out, like Bob, the five grand is coming my way from somewhere, but probably not Bob the Bob Lacey. And Sherry show.
Bob Lacey, you're such an overachiever. Look at how many things we were able to name just now, right off the top of our heads.
That's right. Yeah, I'm so glad I brought this up.
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations to Ms. Dudley, a small handful of employees dubbed Grillmaster legend. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the Bob and Sherry Keepsake Family Photo Album.
And since you're a part of the family,
you are an unceasing onslaught of dysfunction.
We're looking for pictures you've taken with Bob and Sherry at Bob and Sherry events.
Or around town.
If your picture is selected, you can be a part of this very special Bob and Sherry Keepsake Album.
All right.
If you got a picture, go ahead and send it to
hello@bobandsherry.com.
You never know. Your photo could make it to our family album. Don't forget, your photo to hello@bobandsherry.com.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Maybe there's always been like this ugly undercurrent in American life where you see somebody, and we're talking about well-known people that we all know, right? So you see like a public figure who's going through a hard time and you're like, wow, man, that's a tough break. And you might post something on your Facebook, say, and you might post a link to the story and go, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of this individual, but wow, this is a tough break. And the comment thread fills up with people going, they all should die. They get what they deserve. Who cares about them? Suits are right. Hope she chokes. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know that vibe? Yeah. Has that always been there? Maybe. Maybe it's always been there. And we had to say it to each other, you know, over the back fence or the water cooler. We didn't have a place to publicly dump like the really like nasty, ugly, mean-spirited thoughts that ricochet through a lot of people's heads. And so, you know, over the weekend, I'm scrolling through my newsfeed and I land on this story about Tori Spelling and how she and her children have finally moved into a rental home. So when she split up with her husband, Canadian canned ham, Dean McDermott, she and her kids, and the paparazzi were relentless. She and her kids were living in like no-tell motels, and they were in an RV for a while. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Remember all this?
Yes.
And it was rough, and this lasted for close to a year. And, you know, people would... The paps would get pictures of Tori, you know, at the campground, and the paparazzi, oh, poor little rich girl. And you know, then it would be rehashed how much money her father left and how Tori Spelling's mother wasn't helping. And it was like, wow, you know, I don't have any idea what goes on in the real lives of these people, but I'm looking at a mother and her children drifting from cheap motel to cheap motel to campground, and the entire world going, hey, hold still, Tori, so we can kick you while you're down, right? And the comments that we, like, somebody would tweet the story and the comments would fill up with just hatefulness. Well, she and her children are finally in a home, and it's expensive because it's in Los Angeles. It's $15,000 a month. And it's a nice house. Wait. It's a nice house, but it's not $15,000 a month.
No.
Nice. It looks like, in all seriousness, Lamar, a house that might be in your neighborhood or mine. Just a regular person's house that was built in like 1982. Okay? $15,000 a month because that's what things cost in Los Angeles. Now, it does have a pool in the backyard. A lot of your houses in Southern California do. And it's nicer than the house I'm living in. It's real nice. But it's not like, you know, when I tell you $15,000 a month, you picture what? Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, right? You're like,
God.
Yeah, I bet that's pretty swaggy.
Yes.
And now she and her kids finally have like a consistent roof over their heads. No more motels, no more campgrounds. And of course, as I'm scrolling through this story, here come the comments. Well, she doesn't have any talent and she's really ugly. Like, like what?
This is what hiding behind social media. This is what hiding behind something. They just feel like they can say any dang thing they want to say. Anything.
But can you imagine? I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a troll get trolled. I have, and it is ugly. And these people immediately, I'm the victim. Like, they immediately get all crocodile tears when the keyboard gets flipped around. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, like, none of us can relate to Tori Spelling's life. None of us can. Who the hell can relate to Tori Spelling's life? But I'm over here like, well, I'm glad she and her kids have a stable roof over their head. I hope she chokes on a nugget.
I don't understand it.
You know, here's my question. Here's my question. If you don't like Tori Spelling, okay, her kids, did they not deserve to be able to lay their head down at night and feel safe and have their bellies full? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Have a fixed address to give to the school office? Like, come on. Oh, my word. So, y'all, Tori Spelling and her kids have a place to live. And she ain't hitting your bank account to pay for the rent. So settle down. It's Bob and Sherry. It's true crime time. And we're going to talk about Drew Peterson. I'll remind you that Drew Peterson is one of the murderous husband Petersons. He is the former police sergeant from Bolingbrook, Illinois, who was found guilty in 2012 of the murder of his third wife, Kathleen, just a few months after their divorce in 2003. So the murder happened way back, but he was convicted in 2012. He came to everyone's attention in 2007 when his fourth wife, Stacy Ann Peterson, disappeared. The police and Stacy Ann's family suspect foul play, but she's never been found. And so I have a soundbite from an interview that we're going to play with News Nation's Ashley Banfield. And when Ashley asked Drew Peterson what he thinks happened to Stacy Peterson, who has never been found, Peterson said, "I believe, see, if you look into her life, her mother did the same thing, disappeared like that. Stacy loved and admired her mother. So if Stacy did what her mother did, I could believe that all day long. But of course, no one believes that Stacy Peterson did what her mother did. Everyone believes that Drew Peterson did something and it just so far has gotten away from it." But also in this interview, this guy is such a psychopath. And I mean that in the clinical way, not like the, you know, cartoon action movie way. Like, completely devoid of empathy, remorse. He's an empty skin suit without a human soul residing inside. He is cold-blooded and vile. And he is talking about how he would not, you know, he's not going to murder you unless, you know, you marry him.
As I am about you, because it's our jobs.
I promise, unless you marry me, I'm going to make it a joke.
I will guarantee you that something happened, my friend.
You're an empty skin suit. And here's the thing about the people that are not, the Catholic Church has a word for it, and that word is ensouled, E-N-S-O-U-L-E-D. There are people, I totally believe, that are walking amongst us that were born, but not somehow they dodged having a soul. And I think he's one of them. And these empty skin suits, the most fascinating thing about them is they can't comprehend that you're different. They think that everybody is like they are, and that Lamar, you're just faking it. You're just sucking up and faking being a decent human being. And Max, am I right?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that's true.
So Drew Peterson can sit here in his prison, his literal prison jumpsuit, joking with Ashley Banfield about, you know, the only women that he murders are the ones that marry him. LOL. I mean, does that not make your skin crawl?
It does. He was part of that group of three different guys named Peterson who all were involved with murdering their spouses, right?
Oh, yeah.
There was the guy from North Carolina who pushed his wife down the stairs or she fell down the stairs or whatever
Michael
it was.
Michael Peterson.
And then there was Scott Peterson, who his wife's name was Lacey. And so, you know, we were talking about this off mic Scott Peterson, the Innocence Project has taken on his case to try to prove that he didn't do it, that he was railroaded. And I read some of the information about it. I thought, sure, he was guilty. And the stuff I read about it, you go, you know, there's a lot of reasonable doubt here all of a sudden.
Well, there were all sorts of things that weren't leads and evidence that wasn't followed up on, wasn't fully developed. And it's y'all, I will just say, I think Scott Peterson is, you know, a bag of the douche. Okay. I think he's a monster for all sorts of reasons. As Lamar pointed out, innocent people don't typically bleach their hair blonde, grab a bag of cash, and make a run for Mexico, right?
No.
He was cheating on his pregnant wife. I mean, I just think the guy is loathsome. But I also know that the Innocence Project very seldom takes a case where they don't believe 100% that you're innocent. Wouldn't that be a plot twist? Meanwhile, Drew Peterson is just having a big laugh over on News Nation the other day.
Yeah, like a jerk. About how he's the jerkiest jerk I've ever seen.
God. He only kills you if you marry him.
Guess what? Oh. Innocence Project not taking his case on.
Ever. True Crime Time. It's Bob and Cherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Cherry app.
80 vehicles were towed during what they call a sideshow in Stockton, California. The county sheriff's office says no one will be getting their cars back anytime soon. Said we're getting a tremendous amount of calls from people wanting their vehicles back. But Sheriff Patrick Withrow says to those people whose vehicles we have in our possession, they can stop calling. A sideshow is a group of people who are meeting up at a vacant lot or a roadway or something, a road that's closed. And it's typically between midnight and 2 a.m. And they perform car stunts and they play loud music and a bunch of crowds around. And you got cars doing donuts and motorcycles doing wheelies or driving cars on two wheels. They're just having a big time. They were pop-up parties like part car show and part block parties back in Oakland in the 80s. But over the years, it's turned into this. And I think now it's just growing so big, it becomes a nuisance. Around 2 a.m. in the morning, the sheriff's office said it broke up a large sideshow in Stockton, and the deputies reportedly closed the roads while they detained over 150 people and impounded 88 vehicles. Those vehicles will be held until their court cases have been settled with the district attorney's office. They won't be released anytime soon unless the DA has settled the case, Withrow said. No need to keep calling me. Your vehicles are going to stay with us. Therefore, they can't be used in any more public nuisance or sideshows. He added that the vehicles deemed to be a public nuisance face the possibility of being destroyed.
Oh,
he's
wow.
had enough of this tomfoolery. These shenanigans are going to stop. He's stopping this.
All I can think when I hear this is, don't you people have to get up early for work?
Yeah,
I have to get up so early for my job. I can't come to your sideshow.
The idea that they're going to destroy them, though, that seems a little harsh.
But, you know, they can't. You know, I see where they could take a vehicle, because if you're caught shooting a deer from a car, they can take your car and not give it back.
Yeah.
So there's laws about that.
This got a little get off my lawn to it.
That's the first thing I'm thinking. All the shenanigans is going to stop. This is Bob and Cherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Cherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.